too lost to be found. You're just asleep, and it's time to leave. So come on, rise up, take a breath, you're alive now. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us out from the grave like Lazarus? You're brand new, power death couldn't hold you. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us out from the grave like Lazarus? That washes sin away. Now the door is open wide, and that stone's been rolled aside. The old is gone, the light has come. So come on, rise up, take a breath, you're alive now. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us out from the grave like Lazarus? You're brand new, power of death couldn't hold you. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us out from the grave like Lazarus?
Try.
saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His glory filled the earth. His face shone like the sun. He was light to everyone, and the glory that fell on me was the glory that set me free. And angels cry,
this word with me, worthy.
Worthy.
Now say this, worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy.
Now say this with me, worthy is the Lamb who has taken away my sin. Worthy is the Lamb who has taken away my sin. Now say this word, holy.
Holy.
Say this, holy is the Lord.
Holy is the Lord
in all that he does. Hallelujah. And the revelation as it opens in chapters 4 and 5, we see the very throne room of God and the angels and the elders exclaiming, worthy, holy, holy is the Lord. Hallelujah. There's no clock in heaven. The band isn't going to sing three songs and be done. I'm looking forward to that day. The order of service in heaven is praise and worship, huh? To the King of glory. Come on, lift up your hands and lift up your voices and just express praise and gratitude to the Lord this morning. You're worthy of glory. You're worthy of honor. Thank you for your salvation. Hallelujah. Do this with me. It says in Colossians chapter 1 that the way to be found pleasing to God is being grateful for your salvation. Come on. Come on, lift up your voice and just simply say, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for that. Thank you for all of your blessings and all of your promises that are mine. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for the promise of heaven, but thank you for the abundant life right now. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb of God. All that he is and all that he does is holy. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. John, can we go back to that last song for just a moment? Go back to keep going. I tell you when to stop. Keep going. Right there. Hold it. Thank you, John. Hallelujah. This is what I want to do. I want all of you ladies that are going to the encounter, whether you're going as a leader or going as a participant, I want you to remain standing, and I want the rest of you to be seated right now, okay? Hallelujah. Right where you are. We got a great group going next week. It's going to be amazing. So we sang this song, This Is How I Want to Pray for You. And the glory that fell on me was the glory that set me free. I'm expecting God's going to set you free next week. Next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There's nothing like an encounter. There is nothing. I don't know of anything anywhere at any time where a group of people will pray for and fast for 3 days for you, like the leadership will do for all of you women going on this encounter. They'll pray and fast for 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, pray and fast and pray for you that you experience the freedom from the glory of God. It'll come into your life. Hallelujah. Come on, church, pray with me. Lord, I'm asking you. We are asking you. Together we're asking you. God, I pray that you energize and strengthen Pastor Debbie and her team as they lead this. And that, God, the next Friday and Saturday and Sunday, that, God, every lady that's going, that, God, nothing would interrupt them going this week. Nothing would stop them from going this week. God, nothing would stop them. And that, God, when they go, may they go all in. May they not be tentative. May they not be apprehensive. May they not be resistant, God, or unsubmissive. May they step in and receive all that you have. We're just trusting you, that God, that your glory and power, God, will just come into them. But God, may they come with a ready heart to receive all that you have. You're waiting to do amazing things in their lives and their hearts. May they not miss one thing that you have for them. We're just trusting you. Keep your hand upon everybody. God and Diane and her team up there at Conry Lodge. That God, that everything will just, God, just protect us from every kind of crazy illness. And God, may it be a weekend that will never be forgotten. We're trusting you. And we're thanking you, Father. Amen, friends. Amen and amen. Go ahead. You may be seated. One of the things that will happen next Sunday when the ladies comes back is I love the encounter celebration service. It's about an hour long. We try to keep it to an hour, but we're really successful. But the testimonies and the music is just one of the most powerful services we do here. And everybody's encouraged to come and celebrate with them. And we're going to welcome them home. It's a big deal. And so I hope that you'll be part of that. Amen. That's next week. It's an encounter celebration service. It's just a tremendous, tremendous weekend in every way.
Well, Patrick, come on up here. We're saying goodbye to Patrick today. He's leaving us. He decided to do something crazy and join the Navy. Yeah. So Patrick, just real quick, like, okay, just tell us where are you going? Most of us might know, but where are you going?
Well, first stop is Navy boot camp in Great Lakes, Illinois, which is just north of Chicago. And then after that, I'll go to my A school, which is in Pensacola. And then after that, I don't know yet.
Pensacola. How many in Pensacola in like December? How many of you feel bad for Patrick? I think you should go to Pensacola and then Chicago for December. No. Seriously. And so, and you're going to do what in the Navy at this point?
So my rate in the Navy is called CTR, which is it's mostly like cybersecurity, cyber warfare. Yeah.
All right. Don't mess it up. Come on, join with me. Let me pray for Patrick as he, it was an encounter that this guy had an encounter with Jesus. Radically transformed his life. Radically. You could see it on his face. Radically transformed him. And, now he's been saying, okay, now it's my next step, Lord. And so he's, we went talked about a lot of different things. He decided to go this way. And let's just pray that, let's pray that not only does he do well, but more importantly, that he is light to those around him. Amen. Amen. And you're leaving us when? When are you going?
So I'm officially shipping out on October 6th.
Thursday.
Yeah, it's Thursday. Yeah.
Wow. So 10 weeks there, and then however many weeks, about 14 or so
14,
weeks.
14. Yeah.
14 in Pensacola. So join with me. We're going to miss you. It's going to be, I'm really going to miss you, Patrick. I really am going to miss you. But we're glad that you're taking a step forward with your life, and we trust God to use you there. Lord, thank you for Patrick. He's a living, breathing example of what it means to encounter you at the encounter. He had a transforming experience with you there. It was evident to everybody who saw it. It was amazing. And now, Lord, he's been completely different in so many ways, and we're thankful for that. And now, Lord, as he's taken this step, I know he's wrestled long and hard trying to figure out what to do and when to do it and all that. But he's locked now. And, Lord, I pray that as he goes to Great Lakes, that, God, that would be a great experience for him. And that, Lord, he would just excel there. Help him with all the stresses and strains that will definitely come. And, Lord, I just pray that then as he transfers and goes down to Pensacola for training A school, that, God, that you would just not only help him to grasp all of this, the importance of the role that you're going to put into his hands, but more importantly, help him to be light and truth to the men and women around him. And God, may he stand strong for you. May he not be sucked into any of the culture and the temptations and all the rest that can come, but may he stand strong for you and point the way to you for many others. So we trust you for that, Lord. Thank you for Patrick. Lord, we're going to miss him. We're going to miss him big time. But, Lord, we're thankful that you're going with him. He's going with you. And it's going to be an amazing journey. We commit him to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Why don't you give him a round of applause? Amen. Let me shake your hand. Proud of you, man. Proud of you. Woo. Amen. Amen. It's a great step. And so, Rolando, why don't you come? And it's great, and it's difficult to see young men and women. They leave here and they step into what God has for their lives, and we rejoice with them. And let's be faithful to pray for them too. Just because you don't see them doesn't mean we should stop praying for them. Amen. Let's do that, Rolando.
Well, good morning again. My name is Rolando. First and foremost, we just want to welcome all you guests or visitors, and we do that by giving you a round of applause. So, truly, it's an honor and a blessing. I know I say this quite often, but it really is an honor and a blessing to have you with us this morning and to be able to just worship with you and to have the word of God spoken to you and over you. But we also want to get connected with you as a church, as the body of Christ. And the first way you can do that is by texting WELCOME to the number up on the screen behind me. You can also get connected with Seaport through different social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, things like that. The best way, in my opinion, and I think in a lot of our opinions, is to download the Church Center app. So you can do that by hitting the QR code on the seat back that's in front of you, just with your camera on your phone, and should bring you right to the link. And there's just everything that Seaport does, all the details, how to register for stuff. It's right there in the Church Center app. So definitely think about downloading that. And then after service today, you'll be able to speak with Pastor Brad over by the cafe if you're a guest or a visitor and you want to learn some more about the church. But I also have some opportunities that I want to share with everybody. Today, we have the honor ceremony. We're honoring two of our girls here. It's at 4 p.m., so please do your best to come out. You don't have to register. Come out and support them. And just give them the honor that's due to them for the hard work that they put in for all they do and have done. We also have our stretched group study. It's a men's group on October 4th from 6 to 8 going on. So if you want to get connected with men, definitely get plugged in there. We have Engage on October 12th with Pastor Brad. So if you want to learn about your why God created you, what he created you for, and how you can operate in what he created you to do, definitely sign up for Engage. We have apple pie sales going on. You can pre-register now, and then we'll collect on the 16th. So that's, like I said, it's all in the app. And then on October 28th, we have our parking lot party. So everything on that day that will be donation-based and all be pulled together to help out our ministries here. So definitely invite your friends, your family members for that. And again, all the additional info is in the app. So thank you, guys. Here's Chris.
Thank you, Rolando. You know, it's giving time. And this morning, as I thought about giving, the Lord was speaking clearly to me about challenging perspectives. So what came to me was 2 Corinthians 9:7, and you must decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. So if this is your first time here, there's no pressure to give at all. The Bible tells us that giving to God is a way of us expressing our thankfulness. It's a way of expressing our trust in him. You know, we trust him with our prayers, we trust him with the things that are happening in our lives, but oftentimes it's that last bit of surrender with our finances that we have such a hard time giving it over to God. And so my challenge to you this morning is, do you trust him? Do you trust him to surrender in all the things that you have, not just in your time and in your talents, but in your finances also? And so let him speak to your heart. Let him tell you what the right thing is to do, what he wants you to do, right? And in order to do that, we have to decide. But really, the decision that we have to make is that we have to surrender our decisions to him and trust that he will take care of us. So there's lots of ways to give. But Lord, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to give everything that you give to us. All we're doing, Lord, is giving it right back to you, Lord. Lord, I pray that we're able to surrender in such a way that we're cheerfully giving everything, our time, our talents, and our money. And we're trusting that everything comes from you and we're just giving back to you, Lord. Lord, it's in your great grace that we can even be here today and just want to acknowledge how great and powerful you are, Lord, and that we are surrendering everything to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's lots of ways to give. It's easy to give. The easiest way, through the Church Center app, but you can also give out in the kiosks if you want to do it old school, or you can even text to give. So, good morning.
Thanks, Chris, and thank you for being generous and being faithful. You know, it's your giving that makes this place go. There aren't people outside that are funding the church. There aren't trust funds. There aren't anything of the sort. This church runs solely on what we give. And thank you for being generous and faithful. I appreciate that so much. Well, Stacy and Nolani, come on right on up here. These folks are certainly not strangers to you at all. This is a mother-daughter team of nurses. And aren't you glad that you have among our help? Stacy runs our nursery, and isn't it great to have a nurse in the nursery? And we're seeing that. And, of course, Nolani's right there. But their passion is to use their medical skills in a slightly different way. So they're going to tell you a little bit about that right now. This is kind of exciting. Stacy, Nolani.
Thank you. So he said we're both nurses, and we've both done missions trips separately, but this is an opportunity for us to do them together. So 20 years ago, I sat in Assemblies of God Church, and a family who was ministering to people in Haiti started talking about it, and I was like, oh, I'm all in. I want to go. And Orlando was like, not so sure. But I went, and he took care of the children, and I went, and I had a wonderful time. And who knew 20 years later my daughter would want to do the same thing? So she went on her missions trip to Africa, and now it's time for us to do one together. So we are both going in December to El Salvador. We are going from December 1st to December 5th. It's a quick trip. We fly out on the 1st. We do 3 days of medical missions trips, and then we fly back home on the 5th. We're going through Joyce Meyer's Ministries. We have never gone through them. Thank you. You can give her a hand clap. We did a lot of research trying to find an organization that we could go, that we could trust, and that was God-focused. So they are God-focused. They pray over their people. They share the word, and they also do hands-on healing. So we are going together. We're very excited. Do you have any questions? Is just something before I... There are pictures in the back. We've never gone, so I can't answer a lot of questions about what's going to happen. We are all in, and we're just trusting God for it, because I've never worked with these people. We join people together in Miami, and we all get on the same plane, and we fly over. And that's it. I'll answer questions when we return, because I'm not exactly sure, because we've never worked with them.
You don't even know what you're in for.
No.
No, but I'm sure it's going to be great. And, you know, I mean... what a gift. What a gift the two of you are going to be to those folks there. You know, you're going to be a tremendous gift to them. You know, and I mean, we're going to pray for them. But I know that how much more do you have left to raise?
I have 950. She has 600.
Okay, so that's 1550. So, I mean, I knew that... I know some of you would love to partner with them and invest in the people of El Salvador and what they're doing. And so if you want to do that, and I know that you will, I think I think that they put a screen up there for you to be able, there you go, right there. If you want to give, the easiest way to do that is the Church Center app. So you can use Guest Missionary, or you can use the code up above and through text to give. There's two different ways. Or you can certainly stop at one of those little giving boxes out there too. And, you know, if you do it like that, then of course it goes, you know, to a church giving record, and you know, or you can give if you can give it straight to them, or whatever you'd like to do. But you know, let's just pray for them. I know that sometimes we whine and complain about our doctors and our medical system. We do a lot of these folks, they don't have anything. They don't ever have anything. So I mean, maybe we should be a little bit more grateful. And, you know, these two are going to go down there, mom and daughter team. Isn't that great? And they're going to use their skills and bless those people. You're going to be seated for a while. Why don't you stand with me? Let's pray blessing upon them. Is there anything else you want to share? Nolani didn't say anything. Is there something you would like to say, Nolani?
Okay. No, I just want to, like, thank you, like, always. I mean, even when I first went to Africa, like, this church stood behind me, like, through prayers and financially, and, like, that support means everything. And I even had the opportunity to, like, go back, and then COVID happened, and, like, you still stood by me, hey, like, when you're ready to go back somewhere, like, we're here for you. So, like, that just means the world, knowing that, like, all of you are here for us. And I'm just super excited to go with my mom. It's just, like, nursing's, like, our heart, but, like, so is Jesus. And, like, being able to go there and, like, heal them, like, physically, but then, like, pour into them spiritually just, like, adds to it all, so.
What a gift. It's going to be a great gift to them. It's going to be a great, great gift. It's going to be, you know, and so, you know, I mean, it's a fast trip, man. That's a fast trip. Down 3 days, back. Wow, that's fast. But I'm sure they'll probably, if it's typical medical missions, they'll work from early to late and probably nonstop. That's because the lines will probably be, I'm just going to tell you, the line's going to be really long. It's going to be because I don't know how that works. Because you will be, for some of these folks, you will be the only professional medical help they've ever seen, ever. And so, some of them will come from huge distances to come and see you. And, you know, we want, if we've got to drive 20 minutes with a doctor, some of these people will walk 20 miles or more. And so let's pray. Let's just really pray that God uses Stacy and Nalani those 3 days, and that they return rejoicing at how God used their professional skills and their spiritual power. Amen? Yes. Come on, let's pray. Lord, thank you for Nalani and Stacy. Lord, they are just such a gift to this church. Lord, they're just an amazing gift to this church and all that they are and all that they do. And now, Lord, they're going there, and it's exciting. And Lord, I know it's going to be exciting, but it's going to be a lot of work. Lord, I pray that you protect them from illness. I pray that you get them there safely and get them back out of there safely. I pray that you give them supernatural wisdom, God, that transcends even their professional skills, God, to how to help people. God, give them quick discernment. And God, you can do that. You can give them even revelation into people's needs and situations that, God, that there aren't time or ability to diagnose with all kinds of tests. God, you can show them what it is. And I pray that, God, that you do that. And I pray that, God, as they pray for people, that your spirit would step in there and bring, God, divine healing, and that they would return rejoicing and amazed at all that you did. It's only 3 days, Lord. But you were raised from the dead in 3 days. God, may they see people come back to life, as it were. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Lord. When are you guys going?
December 1st.
December the 1st. So you're going to be here a couple of months. But you know what? If the Lord is speaking to you about giving and helping them, just do it. Amen? Just do it. And bless them. You're not going to El Salvador. And some of you are like, thank God I'm not going to El Salvador. But you can go by helping them go. Amen? Amen? Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. Isn't this is great, isn't it? Thank God. Hallelujah. Whew. Amen. Amen. I'm going to release. I don't think we've released the youth yet, so you guys can go. And I'm releasing the youth. Okay. Middle school only today, right? Is that right? Everybody? Everybody? Okay. Everybody's leaving. Youth, that is, not the rest of you. The rest of you have to stay. I'm sorry, but you have to stay. All right. I know. Some of you haven't come to terms yet that you are well into your 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond, but you have to stay anyway. All right. But anyway. So, you know what? Let me just share something with you quick-like, and then we'll jump right into the Word of God this morning. Do you know that on Wednesday nights, do you know the average church in America today, the average church in America is about 60 people on a Sunday morning. Do you know that we have over twice that many on a Wednesday night? Yeah, 135 last Wednesday night. It's amazing. And, you know, and I mean, here's the reason for that. I mean, not only is there worship in here, and I'm going to take on, Chris did a great job, and I'm going to do part two of dealing with church hurt. It's quite possible if you go to church, you're probably going to get emotionally, spiritually hurt somewhere along the line. Might happen to you. What do you do with that? I'm going to take that a little further and help you to understand that. And so we'll continue the series, Love Your Neighbor. But look at on Wednesday night, all the different things that are happening for the kids. Look at that. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's every Wednesday night. So I hope that you'll come and be part of it. It's a great, this place just thrives, let me use that word, on Wednesday night. We got a great team of people in this place. Aren't you grateful for that? Hallelujah. Come on. So let me jump in. Let me jump in here. So, has God ever spoken to you? And are you sure it was Him? How do you know it was Him? Now, if you've been around the church for any period of time, You've heard people say, the Lord spoke to me. I don't know why they have to change their voice every time they say that. It's kind of weird. I don't know how they say that. But anyway, you know, you know what? That's legit. But it is also true. I mean, there are people who say, yo, God has spoken to me. God didn't speak to you. You spoke to you. You know? That's true too. And, you know, that's true. But let me assure you of something. God is a speaking God. Okay? He wants to get, how in the world are you going to have a personal relationship with God if he never talks to you? Kind of crazy. Now, please understand something here. Let me just kind of give you a quick analogy. Most of you work for a company, or if you're in the military, you definitely have there's definitely a code of conduct or a employee handbook or operator's manual or something like that that you run by. That's the default. But you probably have a supervisor, a boss, or an officer, or a chief that's also interacting with you and helping you with the day-to-day stuff. And you know what? We have a code of conduct called the Bible, but we also have the Holy Spirit who speaks to us daily and directs us. Amen? But we got to figure out how that all works. You know? And I mean, God does speak to his people. And of course, yes, I know it's been abused. I know it has. Of course it has. Like anything. But that does not mean that the legitimate interaction of God's Holy Spirit speaking to you isn't real. It's real. But how do you know? How does that all work? Well, today we continue the series we've been in most of 2022 called Headliners, where we look at the major players in Scripture. There's nobody in there by happen chance or coincidence. Every player, every main character and minor characters as well, they're all in there and they all have something to teach us. And we just spent several weeks with leading ladies. And today, we're going to kind of pivot today. Today, Ken Gobb was supposed to be with us. But due to his accident, he ain't going nowhere for a while. But he's recovering very well. He's ahead of where the doctors thought he would be. And he's doing well. I've talked to him a couple of different times. He's excited to get going again. He's 86 and expecting to fully recover and get back out on the road and travel. The dude is nuts. But that's one of the reasons why he's alive. But he was supposed to be here today. And they said, yeah, he ain't coming. I didn't think so, you know. But anyway, but we'll pivot today. But I'm going to continue with headliners. And I want to go into the story that I love from 1 Samuel and talk to you a little, because there's a great story in there about hearing God. So go with me to 1 Samuel 3. It's not going to be projected. At least I don't think it is. It might be. But I want to just kind of retell you the story of Samuel. Now remember, last week we talked about Hannah at the baby dedication. That becomes his mom, made a deal with God that if God gave her a son, he would give her back. She followed through with the deal. She dedicated that child to the Lord. She followed through. But now we pick up the story of Samuel several years later. Here we are. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord. He's now at the tabernacle with Eli the priest, just like Hannah said she would follow through. She did. Okay? Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were pretty uncommon. Okay? Visions pretty rare. Now, one night, Eli the priest, who was old, very overweight, was almost blind, had gone to bed. Now, the lamp of God that was supposed to burn all night, signifying the presence of God with us, even in darkness, the lamp of God had not yet gone out. It usually went out early in the morning as the sun was coming up. Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the Ark of the Covenant. And suddenly the Lord called out, Samuel! Samuel gets up, goes over to Eli and goes, yeah, here I am, what do you need? And Eli's like, what? What? Go back to bed. I didn't call you. Samuel goes back. Same thing. Samuel gets up, goes to Eli. No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Third time. Samuel gets up. No, what is going on here? Finally, it clicks in Samuel and in Eli's head. What is going on? And he goes, wait a minute. And Samuel did not recognize what was going on, but now, after the third time, Eli, the old priest, realized what was happening and that God was calling him. And when he realized that, in verse 9 of chapter 3, it says, Eli says, go back in there and lie down, okay? And if someone calls again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed. He did. And sure enough, he hadn't been laying down very long before he heard Samuel. And Samuel did just like the aged priest told him. He said, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And then look in verse 11, it says, then the Lord said to Samuel, I am about to do a shocking thing in Israel. And he would go on. And he would go on. In this story, there are some very obvious and some things that maybe aren't so obvious about how that Samuel learned how to hear the voice of God. And it would become incredibly important to him in his lifetime, more important than he could have ever dreamed when he was a boy there at Shiloh in the tabernacle. So let's take a look at how Samuel heard God's voice and how we can too. There's something about this story that you can blow by very easily. And the first thing, though, of course, we had a very powerful picture last week of 8 families with 9 babies and children standing across here. Largest dedication in the 33-year history of this church. And that's a great sign, isn't it? That's a great sign. That's a sign of life right there. And so he had been dedicated to the Lord, but he wasn't dedicated in a church on a platform. He had been dedicated to the Lord before he was even conceived by his mother. Before he was even conceived, he was dedicated to the Lord and to his purposes. And she, again, had followed through on that. He was dedicated before birth. I want you to understand something. I want to tell you something. Do you know that every one of you in this room was dedicated to God before you were born? Before you were conceived? You say, what in the world? Really? I'm not even a Christian. How could that be happening? Here's how it happens. In Ephesians 2:10, it says this, that since the foundation of the world, God has created every one of you to be a masterpiece with very specific things that you are to do. You say, well, I'm not even a Christian. God's got an amazing plan for you, and I hope that you'll step in and become a Christian. But when you do, you're going to open the door to an amazing plan for your life that you can't even fathom yet. And he was, and you know what? So when you became a Christian, you stepped into this plan that God has for you. Look at it in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. You know, and yeah, it's true. It's true that although God has called all, not all will respond. That is true, and it's unfortunate. But when you do, it's amazing what happens. I want to encourage you today. Number one, if you're a Christian, know that God has truly an amazing plan for you to step into, even though maybe you haven't figured it out yet. If you're not yet a Christian, you need to know that becoming a Christian is going to put you on a different pathway where you're going to become a masterpiece for God and how he's going to change and shape your life. And he's going to give you things to do that you could have never dreamed, that will give your life such purpose and significance you could have never dreamed of. It'll far transcend anything you could have dreamed for your life. Take it from me. And that's one of the reasons why we do this thing called Engage. Engage is something that we created around here, and it's designed to help you understand who God made you to be, the spiritual gifts and abilities, the person that he gave you, the personality that he gave you, how it all fits together for his purposes and how to put that into play. That's what happens with Engage. And so I hope, and I teach that, and I hope that you'll be part of it. But it's important to understand that God does have just has an amazing plan for you, and that you've been dedicated to the Lord in a sense even before you were conceived. But Samuel was physically dedicated to the Lord. And his mom was serious about this. And she followed through with what she said she would do. I mean, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine taking a young son that you waited for, the promise, and she had all the children. But she brought him to the tabernacle, and she left them. And she would see him maybe 2-3 times in a year. Imagine that. But she didn't. But notice something here. Here's the second thing I want you to understand. Number two, he was serving very simply by assisting the aged priest Eli. He was doing what he had been given to do. And there was nothing that he was doing that was all that big of a deal. It was important, you know. It was important what he was doing. But, I mean, it was just simple things that God gave him to do. My question to you is this. If you want to hear God speak to you and tell you and direct you and give you, you know, his plan and his purpose and his will for your life, are you doing what he's already given you to do? Most of us have GPS on our phones and in our cars and whatever. And you notice something about that, that when you stop, it stops. You stop, it stops. You start moving, and it starts talking. The Holy Spirit is often like that. Not always, but often, it's often like that. Once you start moving, then he goes, okay, now do this. We want to sit here all day long and have God speak to us. And God said, I'm waiting for you to move. I'm waiting for you to do the thing I told you to do. Don't ask God for more information if you haven't acted upon what he's already given to you. Amen? Come on now. God wants to speak to you personally, frequently, you know? But the question, are you dedicated to his purposes? Are you trying to use this one life for the glory and the honor of God? It's not about trying to get God to speak to you to fulfill your own purposes. It's only about, you know, almost every day of my life, I'm amazed when God doesn't speak to me in the course of the day about this church, about you, about me. You know, I'm surprised when he doesn't, because almost every day he's talking to me about telling me, you know, do this, don't do that. You know, start this now. Does that all the time with me, you know? And I've learned to act on that and not waste any time and get going on those things as quickly as I can. But are you doing the simple things that God has already given to you to do? Are you doing that? Now, it's interesting to me. So that's the second thing, is that God is waiting. You may say, well, I want God to speak to me. And God's simply saying, I'm ready to speak to you, but are you doing what I've already told you to do? That's an important question. It's interesting as you read this story where Samuel slept. It was very descriptive where this young boy, he was 12 years of age probably at this point, 12 years old, you know. And he's in the tabernacle. The tabernacle was a very big, basically it had a large kind of a tent structure, wall structure around it. And then inside that, which made a very large kind of a courtyard. And inside of this was a tent where the worship and atonement of sins and all of this took place under the priest Eli and the other priests that served with him. This predates the temple that Solomon would build. It was a traveling worship tent is really what it was. And Samuel was in the tent proper there near the Ark of the Covenant. Yeah, the very same Ark that you saw on Raiders of the Lost Ark. Okay, that one. Okay, that very same one. This ark signified that God was among his people. And it signified his power and his presence. It signified that God had mercy and would give atonement. It signified law and order. It signified all of those things. It signified how valuable God was, because it was acacia wood covered with gold. It was an amazing thing. I don't know if it really looked like, you know, Spielberg put it out there. But anyway, I mean, he slept near the presence of God. That's where he stayed as a 12-year-old boy, you know. He was close to the presence. I mean, here's a simple thing. You want to hear the voice of God, you've got to stay near to the presence of God. How are you doing with that daily appointment? Is your daily appointment just on your drive time? Can you imagine saying to your spouse, the only time I talk to my spouse is when I'm driving. Don't try that. You're going to be in my office for counseling. Okay? Don't do that. Okay? But I mean, That daily appointment with God is about stepping into the presence of God. How are you doing with being faithful to being here in the presence of God? One of the reasons why corporate worship is so powerful, because it puts us into the presence of God in a corporate sense that's far greater than in a private sense. How are you doing with being faithful and consistent here? How are you doing on being faithful and consistent on Wednesday? How are you doing with these opportunities to step into the presence of God? There's Bible studies for men and women around. There's so much that this church offers. You can't do it all. You're not expected to do it all. But how are you doing? Most importantly, how are you doing stepping into the presence of God for a few minutes every day with that daily appointment? It'll energize you and empower you. You want to really step into the presence of God. And you want, here's the simplest thing I can tell you about hearing God speak to you. You want to hear God speak to you? Take some time. Get alone and pray and fast. Take that meal. Take several meals and just simply say, Lord, I'm not going to eat anything. I'm just going to pray and wait upon you and allow you to speak to me. Am I right, friends? When you pray and fast, you hear God clearly? Some of you know that, don't you? And you know what? He was close to the very presence of God. But it's interesting, isn't it? He heard the voice of God call him by name. Isn't that interesting? God didn't go, hey, you, down there. Call him by his name. His personal. God knows you by name. He loves you so much. Isaiah says, and this is allegorical, obviously, but says he's tattooed your name on the palm of his hand. Why on the palm of your hand? It's not on his shoulder over here, so he's got to look at it. It's right there. That's what it speaks of. You put your name there. Not, hey, you. It's a personal relationship with you. I know that sometimes, I'm sure the Lord is tempted, at least with me, I won't say with you, but at least he's tempted with me to go, hey, knucklehead, yeah, you. I'm sure he's been tempted to say that to me, and maybe on a few occasions that would have gotten my attention really well. But, you know, he speaks to us, and he speaks to Samuel very personally. Samuel. And Samuel's like, man, there's something going on here. And the Lord may call you by name. May or may not. I don't know. It's up to him. But you know what? He heard God speak to him three times. Three times. What I'm about to tell you is extremely important, and you need to hear this. And that is that many times when you're trying to learn to hear the voice of the Spirit speak to your spirit, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about an audible voice. He heard an audible voice. That does happen. It's kind of rare. But I'm talking about God's Spirit speaking to your spirit, you know, in your spirit and in your mind. That's what I'm talking about. And many times Christians will say, I don't know if it's God, and I don't know, how do I know if it's God, and, you know, maybe it's just, you know, here's the thing. And sometimes people say, I'm afraid, you know, to ask God to repeat himself because, here's the thing, very simply, God calls Samuel three times and then a fourth. He repeats himself as he's trying to get his attention, trying to help him understand what he's hearing. He's a young kid anyway, but you know what? God doesn't mind repeating himself to you, friends. Don't think you're going to offend God. Ask God to repeat himself. God, is that really you? Then repeat it. This is very, very important. One of the ways you can know is God speaking to you is that he will often repeat himself many, many times. Now, if God has to repeat himself over and over to me, we have a problem. Because when I became a Christian at 16, I set out to hear the voice of God. My theory was this: there will be some time in my future life when things are going to be so challenging and so difficult, the only thing I'm going to be able to trust, you know, besides the Bible, obviously, is hearing the voice of God and following the direction of the Spirit of God. Do you think I was right? More times than I can tell you. When it came down to every voice was yelling at me, and I said, I don't care about any of you. I'm going to listen to God. Hear his voice. Hear his voice. The Bible's very clear about things, that things should be substantiated in the mouth of two or three witnesses. And God will repeat himself, and often will use somebody else to confirm it. So two important principles in hearing the voice of God, and that is this, is that God will often repeat himself to direct you. And it won't just simply go away. It won't be a cool idea that just fades away. He'll repeat himself, okay? And he'll use various methods to confirm. I'll tell you more about that in just a moment. It's important to understand. If you go to Acts chapter 10, you know, God is about ready to do something amazing in the life of Peter, but he knew that Peter was a thick-headed dude, and he really needed, you know, really needed some convincing. So Peter went up before lunch. He went up on the roof of a house. Debbie and I have actually been to the very house that they believe that Peter was at when he received this vision there in Joppa. Now, Jaffa, just south of Tel Aviv. And you know what? He went up there, and while he was up there, he has this vision, and he's like, man, what in the world? Three times he has this vision. And he's like, he's really struggling with the message. The message is, okay, that the gospel isn't just for the Jews. It's for the Gentiles and non-Jewish people as well. And he's like, that was way outside any kind of frame of reference or paradigm he had. He was like, man, this message of Jesus is for the Jews. Forget these other people. And so he said, you know, and God's trying to get his attention with this vision. He comes down after having this vision three different times, and bang, who's in the house but some Gentile people looking for him, sent by this Roman centurion by the name of Cornelius, who says, you know what? God told us to come and get you and take you back there. Do you think Peter would have done that if he hadn't had that vision three times? No way. And he goes back to the home of Cornelius, and something radical crazy happens. You read it in Acts 10. Crazy business. It was so crazy that Luke included it in the book of Acts. You know? It's crazy how it plays out. But he had the vision three different times. It was God's way of helping him to understand that it was legit. You following me here? You know, it's important that you get this. Now, it's an amazing story, but let's take a look at two other principles here. Samuel was instructed by Eli to be ready to respond when the Lord spoke to him. He said, if you hear that voice again, do this. Say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Do you know how many times I've said that to the Lord? About every day of my life now, actually. I'm listening, Lord. I'm ready to do whatever you tell me, whatever you want. Oh, yeah, believe me, I plan my day and I'll plan out my week, but all of it is subject to veto. So, Lord, you want me? Okay, we're doing this, okay. Please understand, it sounds simple, but it's not. It's been years of development trying to understand and step into that. Because I know what the Lord wants is going to be the most fruitful and the most effective and the best for you. Best for you. You know, so obviously, the word that is spoken to your spirit will never transgress the word that is written. Understand that? The Bible is the standard. If you hear anything that's contrary to the book, you're not hearing God. Correct? He will not tell you to do something that the word clearly says is wrong or sinful or harmful or detrimental. Our problem of it is most of us don't spend enough time reading or listening to the word to know it. That's why Adam is always saying, what are you saying, Adam?
Read the Bible over and over, cover to cover.
Stand up, say that again.
Read your Bible over and over, from cover to cover.
That's a radical doctrine. There you go. Come on. Come on. So that you, when the Spirit of God speaks to you, you know it's consistent with His Word. Amen? Amen. It's very, very important. So understand what happens here. You know what? I mean, God will confirm His Word. This is very important that you get a hold of this. And that if it's something minor, you don't need to pray 16 weeks and have 32 confirmations. That's so ridiculous. You know, I'm talking about something that's significant that God wants you to do. He'll confirm it. If it's something simple, you don't need all kinds of confirmations, spend weeks praying. You don't just need to do that. The Word of God, you know, flat out, if I see somebody in need and I have the ability to help them, I don't pray, should I help them or not? I just do it because the Word of God says to do it. Amen. The Lord may direct me exactly how to do it. But you know what? I don't have to pray about whether I should do it. I know I should. Now, the question is, how should I do it? But He'll bring confirmation to you. It was 2009. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, I want you to take a couple of months off. And I'm like, I don't want to take a couple of months off. It's bad when it takes God to get your pastor to take time off. Talk to the board. They'll tell you it's about like that. But so he tells me to take these couple of months off. He kind of like a sabbatical and a rest. And I'm like, okay, whatever. That's what you want me to do. I'll do it. So I'm doing this. And as I move through this, the Lord says to me, I want you to take the last week and I want you to pray. Just go away and pray. And I'm like, okay, that's great. That's awesome. Love that. Sure, sure, absolutely. Now, sometimes the Lord will direct me and sometimes he doesn't. But this time I said to the Lord, I said, is there some place you want me to go to pray? And he said, yes, I want you to go to Shanghai, China. And I'm like, what? I said, let me get this right. You're the God of the universe, and you need me to go to the other side of the planet to pray? Does that make any sense to you? That was my conversation with him. Now, the backstory is this. Ed and Julie were in Shanghai at that time, working over there, and Ed has said to me, you know, you need to get a visa so you can come over here. And so I had a visa, but I honestly thought I'm never going to use no visa to China. That was ridiculous. But I got it anyway. I had it. I had this visa, and I didn't tell anybody. I didn't even tell my wife that God had spoken to me and told me to go to China, because I thought it was preposterous. Go to China, crazy. I get a phone call from Ed, and this is often how it happens between Ed and myself. Now, we've got 32-year history. So understand that, okay? Ed calls me up. He's coming back from China. I don't forget for what reason. I forgot. He comes back from China. He calls me up just as the plane is like landing. He calls me up. He goes, hey, I just got this really, really strong sense that you're supposed to come back with me to China. I'm like, what? I haven't told nobody. I said, well, that's God. A couple of weeks later, a few weeks later, whatever it was, I was in Shanghai, China. And I spent several days with Ed and Julie, Chad, there in Shanghai. And an amazing experience there that the Lord directed. But you see, it was confirmed prophetically. You know, you don't need that for everything the Lord directs. You just need those for those big things. But when you're learning, the Lord will help you. He's not quick to condemn you. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you insight. So you just need to understand that, okay? But here's the last thing I want to share with you, and this is incredibly important. You got to be ready for something shocking, just like I just told you about. It was shocking to me. When you say to the Lord, Lord, speak to me, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, you better be ready for what he might say. It may not be, oh, go tell Eli that I love him and that I want to bless his life. And everything is going to be wonderful. Yeah, that was not the message. Look at what it says. I'm about to do a shocking thing in Israel. This is a 12-year-old boy hearing this. First time. I'm going to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family from beginning to end. I've warned them that judgment is coming upon his family forever because his sons are blaspheming God and he hasn't disciplined them. So I have vowed that the sins of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven by sacrifices and offerings. That's what Samuel, 12-year-old Samuel, heard. And Samuel was like, whoa, 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 whoa. And if you read the story, the next morning, Eli goes, did God speak to you? Samuel said, yeah. I'll be over here if you need me. And what happened? Eli says, you better tell me exactly what he said. And Samuel, at 12 years of age, quotes what God says to him. Heavy duty. Sometimes the things that God says to you can be challenging. About 2 weeks before this church started, an old guy in Barre, Massachusetts was laying in bed, as he frequently did just before I went to sleep and was quoting the Lord's Prayer. Suddenly, by his own admission, he said he heard a voice that was loud and clear and strong. And the voice said, "Finish making the pond, then clear the land and level the field. Make a cross 200 feet long and 25 feet wide in the middle of the field. Plant rye that will grow 4 feet high around the cross. Then put the Ten Commandments on the cross. Then put my commandment on the cross, love thy neighbor as thyself." And it goes on. And then he says, the Lord said to him that the people from miles around will come to see this work of art, the cross at Berry. That cross up at the top is 200 feet from top to bottom, 150 feet across, is 25 feet wide. Those letters that spell God's wisdom are all 75 feet in length. Put those out there. This old guy, he said, he didn't even claim to be a Christian at this point. But he knew it was God. And he went out and did it. I don't know how many bikers from this church, this biker included, have gone 100 miles from here and seen the cross at Berry. I've met John Hardy, talked to him before he passed away. Can you imagine? You're just laying in bed. God speaks to you. He said to Samuel, he said to John Hardy. And some of you, I just scared the daylights out of. How to grow in your ability to hear God speak. Do what God is giving you to do right now, number one. Number two, you got to stay close to his presence. Number three, you got to be ready and expecting for God to respond to you, because he will. You got to wait for God to repeat and confirm if that's necessary. You got to expect the unexpected. If God should speak to you and tell you, go over to Seaport and put a 200-foot cross behind the church, talk to me first, please. Just check in, okay? There's all kinds of equipment over here. I'll kind of wonder about that. All right? Just check in. All right. Expect the unexpected. Expect the unexpected. And respond even if it's difficult. Samuel must have gulped when Eli said, "Tell me what the Lord said to you. Don't hold anything back." Wow. Respond even if it's difficult. This 12-year-old boy passed the test. And would go on to pass many other tests. And would stand for God. And become the national religious leader and prophet to the nation. I want the band to come right now. I want you to stand with me, please. And this is how I want to end this part of the message. We're going to sing the song, and then I'm going to come back and do as we've been doing for several weeks. I'm going to pray as God has directed me to pray. But as you're standing, I'm going to ask you right now, if you want to hear God speak to you and give you some direction. I know what I told you is somewhat scary. I know it. It won't start off that way, most likely. He'll test you to see if you can do the simple things first. But if you're serious about hearing God speak to you, this isn't about doing crazy, wild, ridiculous, sinful, stupid stuff. It's about hearing the voice of God. And if God tells you something and you say, "I'm not sure this is God," and you come and talk to a spiritual leader, you know, "Speak to me, a spiritual leader around here," it will resonate with them and they will confirm it with you. They'll say, "Yeah, I believe that that's true." They tell you, "I don't know if that's really true. I'm not sure you really heard right on that one." You don't get all offended like that, because you already blew the test. If you get that easily offended, you've already blown the test. It's not necessarily easy. When I started to learn how to listen to the voice of God, I set out to do this as a teenager. I said, "God, I got to learn to hear your voice." One day I'm home from Bible college and I'm sitting in my house and I'm just, my parents' house, and I'm just, you know, saying, "Lord, I need to hear your voice." And I thought the Lord said to me, "I want you to go to the Guard Arts Theater." Oh, okay. There was nothing going on. It was the middle of the day. I sat in the parking lot behind the Guard Arts Theater for 3 hours. Now you're waiting for me to tell you that I had a revelation, an angel appeared or something. You want to know what happened? Nothing. Zero. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. So, wow, okay, man, I must have Bible college stress or something. You know what happened there? I can tell you what happened. God didn't say a thing to me. Was that God? I don't know if it was. Probably wasn't. Probably, I can still see myself sitting there behind the Guard Arts Theater all these years later. But one thing did happen, and that was I showed the Lord that I was serious about hearing his voice. I wasn't going to go do something stupid and crazy, foolish, harmful, but I was willing to just to go do something that seemed like it was dumb. Well, it was kind of dumb. And you know what? The point very simply is this. When you're trying to learn to listen to the voice of God, you know, you might not get it always right, but it's okay. You go carefully and make sure that you operate wisely and get good counsel. Make sure it lines up with the Bible. Amen? But what I want you to do right now is I want you to say, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." As if you dare. Will he tell you to build a cross? Probably not likely. Will he tell you to go challenge a priest or a pastor? Maybe, but who knows? Are you ready to do this with me? Just simply say, "Lord, speak. Your servant is listening." Say this with me. If you dare, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." And the Lord's going to begin to speak to some of you right now, even as we sing this song. He's going to begin to speak to you. And sometimes it's very simple. I've had the Lord speak to me sometimes just one word. I knew what it meant. The Lord is speaking to some of you even right now. If you don't hear anything yet, that's okay. He'll speak to you as long as you're ready to hear his voice. Lord, I pray right now, you're a speaking God. We don't want to be foolish and sinful and ignorant and all the sort, but Lord, you are willing. You wouldn't have me preach this message if you weren't willing to speak to us. I pray you speak to us. Guide us and direct us. One last time. "Speak, Lord. Your servant," say it with me, "your servant is listening." Let's sing the song, and then I'll come back and I'm going to close this out. And if you need prayer, our team will come across the front after the song and they'll pray with you. I'm going to pray for a particular need. Let's sing this.
"Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. invitation comes my way. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you.
Thank you, Lord. Speak to your servants who are listening. Help us to hear your voice saying, your voice is often a still small voice, according to Isaiah 30. It says, walk this way. Walk this way. Help us to hear your voice and follow after you. At the end of every service recently, the Lord has told me to take some time to pray, and so that's what we're doing. And I'm going to pray, and then you need ministry, you can come and receive that. We'll close. I've been praying. I've been saying, Lord, I'm praying as the Lord gives it, these things to me. I haven't seen the level of answers I want to see, but I'm refusing to quit. I'm going to just keep doing this until the Lord tells me to stop. Frankly, because you're too important for me to quit. I got to stay on this, and you got to stay on this, and we got to pray, and we got to trust God that people who are struggling with dementia are healed. People who are struggling with ALS are healed. People who've got long COVID issues are healed. People who've got vaccine injuries are healed. People who've got heart issues are healed. It's too important to back off. Amen? Amen? And today the Lord told me to pray for all matters related to the spine. He's already given me what I'm supposed to pray for next week. And I don't argue, I just do it. It's up to him. He and I have had a few conversations about this, I can assure you. But I'm just doing what he tells me to do. And I'm trusting him to bring the healing. Are you? I'm standing determined and resolved in my faith. The faith says, regardless of what I see and regardless of what I hear, I trust. Amen? That's what faith says. I trust God. Not myself, not anything. I trust God. Father, I'm asking you again. I have prayed much at your direction. And these people have agreed with me. And we again agree together. All forms of dementia, ALS, long COVID, vaccine injury. Heart issues, hallelujah, mighty God, trusting you. We are trusting you, mighty God, trusting you. And God, you told me today to pray for all issues, pray for the spine. You are the God who can heal. You are the God that can restore. You're the God that can straighten. You can do all that by the power of your word. And I am trusting you, and we are agreeing. Lord, humanly, it seems ridiculous, but that's the realm that you operate in. And I'm asking you, according to my faith, be it unto us, that God, Lord, I'm only surprised that we haven't seen more answers. And I know that they'll come. And I'm trusting you, and I'm going to stand here and believe until they come. But today, Lord, I pray specifically every spine straight, every spine restored, everything related to the spine healed. For the glory and the honor of God, to the amazement of human medical practice, God, demonstrate your great glory and your great power. Now, if I was asking you to do something I didn't think you could do or were unwilling to do, God, I wouldn't even bother. But you told me to do this, and I expect you to do it. So regardless of what I see, regardless of what I trust you, and I expect it for your glory and for your honor. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We receive it. Just simply say, Lord, we receive it. It's just simply say that with me in faith. Lord, we receive this. We receive this. We receive this. It's all for your glory, Lord. That's all it's for. It's for your glory. Hallelujah. If you need prayer, come. You can come right now. Our team will come and stand across the front. If you need prayer, the band will continue to play softly. The rest of you, you need to go. God bless you. God dismiss us in your great grace, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hopefully see many of you back here at 4 o'clock. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You need prayer, come and receive it. You need to go pick up your kids and go. God bless you. Hallelujah. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Hallelujah. Thank you, everybody.
Righteousness, oh God, how I